I almost jumped the gun. We have some visitors here tonight who will be reporting. So I'm going to talk briefly tonight, and then we'll hear some missionary updates. So we're going to continue briefly our study in the Psalms. We are doing our summer in the Psalms, and tonight we're going to look at Psalm 69. It's a long psalm, but we're only going to look at it briefly. Perhaps we'll be able to take it up once again in the future. But we're looking at the Psalms especially that are taken up most often in the New Testament. And this one's very, very well used as it points us to Jesus. But as we read these Psalms, and maybe I'm going to do this kind of against what I normally do, in some ways we're going to jump right to Jesus tonight for the sake of time. But look at this psalm with me. This is a psalm of lament, and we're going to consider all the different aspects of a lament. There's an invocation, an appeal for help, complaints about those who are against him, confession of sin, imprecation, that is, words against their enemies, and then praise. So I know that was a long list, and I read it quickly, but pay attention for those aspects as we read through Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire, where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and the floods sweep over me. I am very weary with my crying out. My throat is parched, my eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Mighty are those who would destroy me, those who attack me with lies. What I did not steal, must I now restore? O God, you know my folly. The wrongs I have done are not hidden from you. Let not those who hope in you be put to shame through me. O Lord God of hosts, let not those who seek you be brought to dishonor through me, O God of Israel. For it is for your sake that I have borne reproach, that dishonor has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's sons. For zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. When I wept and humbled my soul with fasting, it became my reproach. When I made sackcloth my clothing, I became a byword to them. I am the talk of those who sit in the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord. At an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me in your saving faithfulness. Deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters. Let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up, or the pit close its mouth over me. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Hide not your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Draw near to my soul, redeem me, ransom me because of my enemies. You know my reproach, and my shame and my dishonor. My foes are all known to you. Reproaches have broken my heart so that I am in despair. I looked for pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst, they gave me sour wine to drink. Let their own table before them become a snare. When they are at peace, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened so that they cannot see, and make their loins tremble continually. Pour out your indignation upon them, and let your burning anger overtake them. May their camp be a desolation. Let no one dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom you have struck down, and they recount the pain of those you have wounded. Add to them the punishment upon punishment. May they have no acquittal from you. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living. Let them not be enrolled among the righteous. But I am afflicted and in pain. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hooves. When the humble see it, they will be glad. You who seek God, let your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the needy and does not despise his own people who are prisoners. Let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. For God will save Zion and build up the cities of Judah. And people shall dwell there and possess it. The offspring of his servants shall inherit it. And those who love his name shall dwell in it. This is God's word. What a dismal psalm, huh? And yet, how appropriate it is for us to dwell on this as we have been even thinking about the book of Esther and as we turn our thoughts to the Lord Jesus himself. When we read a psalm like this, it doesn't seem all that far off, does it? We use the same kind of language, don't we? We might say, I'm trying to keep my head above water. I had a sinking feeling. Or, pointing it to other people, you're in deep water. Or sometimes we even mix these metaphors, right? You're in deep trouble. Why is trouble deep? Well, it's because of this watery imagery, isn't it? Well, through this psalm, we have that kind of picture of the murk and the mire. Sometimes maybe you've heard this joke, people, maybe my age especially, we grew up thinking that quicksand would be our worst enemy. And probably none of us have ever stepped in quicksand. And yet the Psalms picture this for us as the danger, maybe not literal, but that's what it feels like. We can't even tread water. We're sinking. We have no firm foundation for our feet to rest upon. It's like the mud is knee-deep and we're just stuck. And all these pictures for us, the psalmist paints, point to two things especially. One, the psalmist's own issues. He's like, Lord, my sin, my trouble, my own stuff's not hidden from you. But the thrust of this is especially on those who heap insults and reproach upon the righteous one. Again, it's not as if the psalmist has not done anything wrong, but he hasn't done wrong against those who are in view in this psalm. Well, as we work through this psalm very, very quickly, you can see the trouble and the cries and the imprecation against the enemies of the psalmist. And it's general enough that all of us could take these words on our lips. Many of you maybe have felt like this, maybe have experienced the taunts of the unbelievers. Or as we saw in Esther, as Mordecai is even mourning and weeping, wearing sackcloth at the gate. He becomes a byword, the talk of the town, as it were. And maybe you felt like that at the workplace. You say something, you stand up for your faith, and everyone's against you. How much more then, when we think about Jesus who took so many of these phrases on his lips, or the other New Testament authors applied this to Jesus? Obviously, we know Jesus has no sin to confess, no folly, no wrongs that he has done. And yet he can take up this psalm multiple times in the New Testament or draw from it, and other New Testament writers apply these words to Jesus. So I wanted to look at just a couple of these phrases in our short time tonight and think about this lament, this crying out, and then look at the resolution as well. One of the first places we see this psalm picked up is in John, where Jesus talks about being hated without cause. Isn't that sort of interesting? Jesus is totally righteous. He's never done anything sinful, never sinned against anyone. And yet, even as we saw in our study in Mark, there is opposition to him. And so Jesus keys in on this idea of being hated without cause. Or perhaps, again, where we think of Jesus' desire to worship the Lord God. And we hear that phrase, "Zeal for your house has consumed me," from John chapter 2. We see Jesus as the righteous one who loves the Lord and has a huge desire to serve the Lord. If you're in John chapter 2, you see this picked up. Remember, Jesus has come to the temple in John's gospel. It comes early in the account of it. And Jesus confronts those selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and money changers. And he made a whip of cords, verse 15, John 2:15, and drove them all out of the temple, poured out the coins of the money changers, overturned the tables. "Take these things and go away," he says. "Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." And then verse 17, his disciples remembered that it was written. And then this quote from Psalm 69, "Zeal for your house will consume me." You see, the lament of the righteous is that though the desire of his heart is to do that which is good and honoring to God, still the wicked will be opposed to him. So even the apostles, this is fascinating, they could see how Jesus is fulfilling this psalm. John's comment here is just tremendous. The apostles remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." That's a really great insight for us, isn't it? To think about how even the disciples were thinking about Jesus in light of the Psalms, as that righteous one who suffers, whose enemies were against him, who bore the reproach of those who reproached the Lord. And this is really the heart of it, isn't it? The psalmist, and especially Jesus as he picks up these ideas, it's because these people hate God. That's why they hate the righteous ones. It's because they hate God. Verse 9 is picked up by Paul in Romans 15 and applied to Jesus. "The reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me." And this is fascinating as Christians, isn't it? It's not something that we necessarily want to experience. But because we are Christians, we do experience this. If we profess publicly to be Christians, we're going to suffer reproach because those people hate God. Even as we have missionaries here, I thought this might be something that they may be able to share with us. How Christians throughout the world are suffering reproach simply because people hate God. Well, many of these verses are helpful for us to think about. Let's speed through this, though, and look at maybe one of the most familiar. In verse 21, we hear this kind of terrible language of eating and drinking poison. But it's on the cross that this is fulfilled, isn't it? Where they offer Jesus this sour wine to drink. And it's this kind of culmination of this suffering that's pictured. Remember last week we looked at Psalm 22 and we saw this as a very grim picture of Jesus' suffering. And now again, another lament in Psalm 69, we see these aspects of suffering for the righteous picked up by Jesus and even now again on the cross. Verse 21, "They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink." Again, if you're maybe still in John, you might look at John 19:28 to 29. Or the other Gospels also highlight this. Remember the sop of sponge or whatever it was that they soaked and lifted up to Jesus. What a picture of Jesus' despair, of the reproaches that he bore. But what's fascinating, whereas the psalmist cries out with this imprecation. I remember I taught a Bible study at our old church, and one of the men just loved the idea of the imprecatory psalms, right? When the psalmist rails against his enemies. One professor of mine said, God's enemies should be dashed against the rock. We don't always think that way, do we? And part of that is because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's because Jesus, we might say, crushed the head of Satan while Jesus hung on the cross. So in some way, that work's already done. And so rather than crying out this imprecatory psalm from the cross, what does Jesus cry out? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's why we also today are called to love our enemies, not to let loose venom from our lips against them, but like Christ, cry out that God would have mercy on them. Yes, God will have his day. When Christ comes again, all of his enemies will be vanquished, crushed, and destroyed. But until then, we have still the day of mercy, the day of salvation. And so we cry out that they might be forgiven. Well, all of this leads to the resolution. So many of the Psalms, as I mentioned last week, have the resolution of praise at the end. Remember, only one, Psalm 88, does not resolve with praise. So as we look at the end of Psalm 69, again, very briefly, we see this psalmist who has suffered so much at the hands of his enemies, who has borne reproach and disgrace and dishonor, who feels like he's had it up to here, can still look to the Lord in faith and think about the praise that will be lifted up to him. Look at the last couple of verses, Psalm 69, verse 34. Because the Lord hears the needy, we read this, let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them, for God will save Zion and build up the cities of Judah, and people shall dwell there and possess it, and offspring of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall dwell in it. Well, what does the book of Revelation highlight for us? The new Jerusalem coming out of heaven, and there all of God's people dwell to the praise of his name. Well, very quickly tonight, I've tried to highlight this lament, a lament that we all can take up on our lips as we feel the angst, the reproach, the revilings of those enemies of God. And yet we know that Jesus suffered most of all from those who hated God. And because they hate God, they hate Christ. And so he suffered. He bore the reproach. That shame and the dishonor were his. But we who follow after him will also bear that. As they hated him, so they will hate us. Jesus warns us of that, doesn't he? And so whether it's in the workplace or on the mission field, we need to take heart and love those who hate us. Pray for those who insult us so that in the end, God might be praised. Well, let's join in a brief word of prayer, and then we'll welcome our missionaries for a brief update. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that we would bear the reproach of those who hate you, as even Christ bore that reproach. We ask that we would have the grace, and that because of your steadfast love, because of your covenant faithfulness, that we've experienced again and again, we might not cry out with imprecation, but that we might cry out with Christ, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But in the end, O Lord, may you be praised even as you destroy your enemies on that last day. And so all in heaven and on earth bring praise to your holy name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.